I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of Champions League qualification action. Rangers are in Athens looking to finish the job they started last week, taking on Panathinaikos. Brendan Rodgers says arithmetic tells you Celtic still need to do more business and is fairly confident of that happening in the coming weeks. And of course, big European action coming up for Hibs and Dundee United over the next couple of days as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Simon Donnelly. How are you both? Are you both well?
Yes, very well, very well. Good to be back. Season's round the corner. I know of the League Cup group stages already, and a massive game for Rangers tonight, but looking forward to the season commencing.
I feel like I'm just working my way through this week, reacquainting myself with all the pundits. I see so much of you during the season, then I disappear for 9 weeks over the summer. You will still okay, everything good.
Must
in the
be
world.
Nice, must be nice to disappear nine for weeks, 9 weeks. Weeks. Unbelievable.
Where did they get to?
That's just, seen you on social media. It's just 9 weeks of unemployment.
Well,
that's
holiday.
All it is.
I've seen your big holiday.
Big team
again.
Holiday.
Big team holiday, yeah. How was that?
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
See, if you just get all the kids and put them together, you just hope that they just look after themselves.
That's carnage, though.
That's the end of the game. It was carnage, but it was good fun. But you, well, yes,
yeah,
good
very
summer.
Well, yep. As Simon said there, I can only echo that. I've been so bored across the summer. Even watching the Club World Cup,
no,
I wasn't a fan at all. No. I was just wanting the real stuff to start, and we are round the corner now.
But you know, I can't believe you missed your opportunity. Have you not taken to the big stage?
I have, yes.
You turned to acting.
Performing arts.
Yeah. Ronald Villiers.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
A run for his money. I'm part of a play that's been going on for, I think it's the 20th anniversary this year.
Right.
Singing I'm Not a Billy, I'm a Tim. And it's about the Rangers and Celtic supporter in the jail. And it was a guy, Scott Kyle, approached me and Charlie Miller. And he was under the guise of come and do a Q&A. So we did the Q&A. And then all of a sudden, he wrote some lines for us where the colour went from my face completely.
So you're in the play?
We're in the play. We've played the Pavilion and Air Gaiety already. It's ridiculous
to
have these words coming out of my mouth.
And what you've got coming up is even more exciting.
So I've always wanted to go to the Fringe, Gordon, and I'm in the Fringe now. I'm starring at the Fringe.
By the way,
on Friday, so.
Do you feel quite like starstruck to be next to this guy?
Exactly, yeah.
He's just wondering what's going on.
That's incredible. So when can we see you? When can they see you at the Fringe?
I start Friday, so it's the 1st and 2nd, the 8th and 9th, and the 15th of August I'm there.
Any tickets going?
I could sort tickets out, yeah.
Why don't
sure.
we give some away?
Yes.
How does that sound?
That.
Right,
that,
there we go. Scrambled together.
Not a problem.
What about a pair tonight, pair tomorrow, pair Friday?
Sounds perfect. Not a problem.
People in high places, this guy. When you know the real stars, though, you get these types of things. There you go. If that's an incentive for you to call in tonight, every caller who makes it through to get on the show tonight goes in the hat for a pair of tickets to see Simon Donnelly and Charlie Miller and other probably more talented actors, no offence, at the Edinburgh Fringe in the next couple of weeks. So there you go. Get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. I'm sure you wanted to call in anyway. Give us your thoughts, Rangers fans. You are 55 minutes away from kickoff in Athens. You don't need me to tell you. You've got a 2-0 lead from the first leg. How are you feeling? 30th of July is awful early in the season to be feeling pre-match nerves, but I wonder if that is the case tonight. Can you see the job getting finished off? Have you got a bit of trepidation? Maybe looking at the way the first half went last week, tie wasn't over, according to Russell Martin. How do you feel heading into this one? I'll give you the team in just a second, and then you can of course react to that and let us know how you feel, whether that was the right call or whether you would have done something different. Get all your pre-match thoughts in. That's what I like about these European qualifiers. We're straight back into big competitive games. It's our first week back in the two-hour show, but we're straight into asking you your thoughts ahead of the big game. So how are the pre-match nerves? 30th of July, very early for them, but let's hear your thoughts nevertheless. Celtic fans, there's been a bit of a theme this week on the show, on social media, I'm sure out and about when you're talking to each other, is about the transfers. How many are going to happen? When are they going to happen? What will they look like? Well, Brendan Rodgers has spoken at relative length about it today, and he just points out to the simple arithmetic of it all. Says they've lost players and they need to replace those players. He's quite confident things can be done in the coming weeks. Do you share his faith? Are you starting to worry about it? What do you make of what he had to say? I'll play it for you as well. So again, calls in please, 01419511025. And I'd love to hear from everyone else out there. St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Motherwell fans, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, Falkirk coming back up, the Dundee clubs, whoever you are, into the Championship, Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle, as they'll now be forever known. Just give us all your pre-season thoughts, because we're at that stage. We're just a couple of days away from the league season starting. So I would love to hear from you. 01419511025. And if you need any further incentive, you can see Simon Donnelly acting at the Edinburgh Fringe. What's the title of the play again?
Singing I'm Not a Billy, He's a Tim.
And you're in it with Charlie Miller. And
I thought you were going to say you can go and see me making a fool of myself.
Well, we'll wait and see. I'll let those people judge for themselves. Speaking of making a fool of themselves, can I tell you what my favourite anecdote from you over the summer was? Because I like to keep an eye on the pundits, just make sure everything's going okay with them over the summer.
Could be anything now.
Social media is great for that. What happened with your Q&A you went to in Leeds? Well, you know, I mean, you're a Leeds legend.
Well, you know me, I like to be on time, but that particular day I took it too far. I was 24 hours early.
You turned up on the wrong day.
Called the guy when I was outside and he said, yeah, you can come in, but I'm not there today. I said, what do you mean you're not there? You've organised it, surely you've got to be there. And they went, yeah, I'll be there, but it's tomorrow.
you drove all the way down to Scarborough.
Yeah,
he'd stuck it on his Instagram as well. I'd seen it on his story. Can't wait for this tonight. 24 hours too early.
See, the worst thing about it, my sister phoned me up after I had put the next story on saying I was 24 hours early, and she says, oh, I meant to call you, I could have told you, actually. I knew it was the following day.
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. Cheers. Heads up. So what, you didn't come all the way back up the road, did you?
No, I just went and stayed in a hotel. So it probably cost me money to do the Q&A.
Anyway, no such timekeeping issues tonight. 01419511025. Having a bit of a joke about it, but it is the same at this time of year when we have to play qualifiers for our clubs, Ross. You look at that, you know, 30th of July, we're talking about summer holidays and a kind of gentle week building up to the league season. But for Rangers, talk about getting down to business tonight.
It's huge, isn't it? Listen, they're in a good position, but what you said at the start of the show there, I think that's spot on. I don't think the tie is done. I think the first goal will be massive tonight, and I think particularly when that comes, because if the worst thing happens and Rangers go one down early on, then they've got a bit of confidence and all of a sudden Rangers are, you know, backs against the wall struggling. But they get through the first half pretty unscathed. You'll be looking at it thinking Rangers have got some boys on the bench that can come on and probably hit them later on the counter-attack.
It's the heat as well, though. I mean, it's really warm out there. I think it's a later kick-off for them. I just think after the first tie at Ibrox, they showed enough threat in that first half. Butlins had some good saves. Boys missed a real good chance at the far post. But you have to give Rangers a little bit of credit because they weathered that. And they kind of turned at the young kids scoring at the start of the second half, and then also winning the foul that got the player sent off, and then all of a sudden the game had turned and Rangers, you know, get the second goal and were pushing for a third, which I think might have taken the tie out of the hands of Panathinaikos. The fact it's sitting at two, it's still for me very much in the balance.
Get your predictions in then, Rangers fans. How do you see it going tonight? Are you confident that 2-0 lead is enough, or are you already feeling pessimistic heading into this one this early in the season? How do you sum up your thoughts? How do you see it going tonight? And of course, every caller who makes it on air tonight, as we said, goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to see Simon Donnelly, Charlie Miller and their pals at the Edinburgh Fringe as well. So a little incentive for you. Get your calls in right now. The team tonight, here's something for you to react to as well. You can let us know, Rangers fans, is this the right team? Is this what you would have picked, or would you have done something different? To cut to the chase, it's the same as last week, I think, looking at it. Jack Butland in goal, Tavernier, Giga, Suter and Aarons as the back four. Rothwell, Diamandé and Raskin, the midfield three, Dowell, Curtis and Danilo. So it is the same as last week. Kelly, Cortez, Barron, Dessers, Bairami, Cameron, Jeffday, Kasama, Fernandez, Gentles, Rice and Hutton on the bench, as we spoke about last night. The likes of Igaman and Asgard did not travel, so there was no real surprise there to see them missing. Same as last week. Ross, I want to throw open to the phone lines and say, is that the right call? Would you have done something different? But for you, is there any real surprise just because of what did happen last week, or did you expect changes?
No, there were not many surprises for me. I think probably the one that everyone will look at, well, there's probably two, let's be honest, because I think everyone's been speaking about Kieran Dowell. He's not a natural wide player and what have you, but he's obviously shown enough to Russell Martin. He's seen him play a lot. He can obviously trust them. For me, obviously, Dessers, he can't be 100% fit, because if he's 100% fit, for me, for his work rate alone, he plays ahead of Danilo. But nah, no massive surprises there.
Well, let's check in with Ian, actually, who's on, because I think he's on a similar theme. Ian, what do you make of that team? Is that what you would have done or not?
Same for Dessers, yeah. Obviously, if he's not... Now that I hear that he's not maybe 100%, maybe that's why he was coming on the second half last week and it worked. But we can't afford not to have a striker going up a few times. Obviously, keep ball is the thing without being in your own goal line, but just midfieldish and let them run a wee bit, because they'll just run over us in their own place. If they score the first one, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Simon, I think he officially is fit. The last couple of days or weeks, if you look at it, they say he was taken off against Middlesbrough at half-time as a precaution. So it was just a precaution. Right. So I don't think there's a real injury issue, if you like. Danilo did start last week.
Yeah.
Is that the area that perhaps tonight Rangers are a bit light in, because Igaman hasn't travelled at all?
Yeah.
So you've got Danilo, and then for whatever reason, if Dessers is undercooked, even if it's not an injury, he's not quite been back in the fold. He's not been starting games. He came off at half time at the weekend. We don't really know what his future holds.
Yeah, I think the two that I was surprised with last week was Igaman and Dessers not being in that starting lineup. And obviously then you have to think there's other reasons, fitness and maybe a little knock. For me, Dessers last season played a lot of his best football in Europe, led the line reasonably well for Rangers, and I thought he'd have started tonight. But as Ross said there, the fact that he's on the bench again, there must be some concern.
I mean, Ross, I'd love to go back and count how many nights we debated Cyril Dessers last season. It's not going away anytime soon, because now it's about his future. You can't argue with the goal return last season. And then, as Ian on the line said, in Europe in particular, he was, you know, had some big nights as well. Would you have, even if he was slightly undercooked, would you have still gone for him?
It depends how Russell Martin sees the game playing out. For me, he'll probably be looking at it as getting through as long as he can, keeping it tight, and then probably, as I say, counter attacks later on. If that's the case, and then you've got Dessers to come on, if you know, if he's only 75% fit or whatever, maybe Bairami, Gassama, who we seen score last week. I think that's what we'll be looking to do. Have the fit players on at the start, stay in the game, not concede, and then later on, if they need to have a go, then it'd be better to bring them on.
At the same time, Ian, Danilo has been scoring goals in pre-season. He scored against Middlesbrough at the weekend. Is he not doing it for you?
Do you think we have a better bench now of subs? We have a good bench, better than we had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the names we mentioned there and still to be added to.
Yeah, you look at the young lad, Gassama, who scored last week, came off the bench and made a real positive impact when he came on, looked lively, took his goal well. And as Roscoe said there as well, it's probably something that was in Russell Martin's thinking. With the way the game goes tonight, you have got the likes of Dessers there to bring on should you need them. So yeah, they have a reasonably strong bench there. They've got lads that can come on. Young lad Cameron as well came on last week as well. So They have got players there that they can change it should they need to. But I just thought with this, the extra week of training, I thought Dessers would have started.
Is he the one you'd be looking at, Ross Gassama, because he comes off the bench? I don't know if anyone got an official time on it. It didn't feel like long. I was working at the game, a minute or two. I would imagine he came on and
I got to admit, I watched him play a few times last year and it was really, really exciting. Direct, quick, powerful.
So you saw him because you were, you know, watching Leeds?
Yeah. Well, just English football in general. Very powerful, quick, very, very direct. Anytime he gets the ball, he's looking to do something. So I think there's going to be a lot of people within Scottish football surprised at how good he is this season.
Let's hear from Russell Martin then, get his pre-match thoughts. Well, thank Ian Higgins into the hat for the tickets to see Simon Donnelly make a fool of himself at the Edinburgh Fringe.
They need to display courage, discipline, aggression in the right areas, intensity, all of it, and nothing will change. So, like, we can talk about the approach for this game, but it's not going to change. We have to be the team we want to be always. I think this football club demands that, and we'll certainly demand that as a staff. It's a tough game against a good opponent. That we have to be really ready for, and I think we'll be better than we were last week. We have to be, and it's down to these guys when they step out over the white line to make sure we stick to the work and the detail and really believe in what we're doing. I think at this football club you have to try and win every single game. I think that has to be the mentality of our team. I don't believe in going into something trying to avoid something. We try and work towards something rather than work away from it, so we'll work hard to try and win the game. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere. It'll be a really good experience for the guys, but we have a lot of guys that have played in big games, big occasions, and for this football club, and I think I'm really confident the guys can handle that. It'll be brilliant for the football club if we win.
Doesn't sound like he plans on parking the bus, as the phrase always goes, Simon. It's maybe like a light version of the debate we always have about Celtic when they get into Europe. If you're Russell Martin and you've come into a new job, and you have a very distinctive way of playing, and you've not got long, and you've spent your full pre-season telling, this is the way we're going to play, this is what we're going to do, we want possession based, we want to press from the front, we're going to do this, this is how we'll get success this season, oh, but by the way, we're 2-0 up from this first leg, so we better just abandon all that. It's hard to do that.
It is hard to do that, and obviously he's not in the door very long, so they're obviously working on this. Last week I just thought sometimes he likes to play out from the back, which is fine. There was a couple of times they just put themselves under a wee bit unnecessary pressure last week, and it could have been a bit more damaging for them. Butland popped up with a couple of saves. But yeah, listen, that's his style of play. I think a lot of the time tonight, their hand will be forced. They'll have to get into a shape defensively and stay in the game, as Ross said. I don't think it will be gung-ho at all. And I just think they have to stay in the game as long as they can. Don't give away any encouragement early on. I've been in European games away field, but you know, an early goal, the roof can come in at times, so they don't want that, obviously. But yeah, just a wee bit tidier with the ball in those areas, because last week they did get caught out one or two times try to play from that deeper area.
Going to be interesting. We're on Twitter as always. Big Rab says, on paper, for the exception of Dowell, it looks not bad. Suter has to stay back if we're going forward. Alistair Thompson says, Dowell, what? I feel like Kieran Dowell's getting singled out on
shame,
there,
man.
But give us a call, let us know what you think, and it's the perfect time to do it, actually. If you get in touch right now, we will line you up when we return. 0141 951 1025.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed, but agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025. Of course, we are building up to kick off in Athens. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? How are the pre-match nerves? You were having a relaxing summer till all this came along, these big high pressure games so early on in the season. How are you feeling? Confident you get the job done tonight? And what do you make of that team? It's unchanged from last week. Do you like it? Would you have done something different? Get your calls in. And a reminder that everyone who makes it on air tonight goes in the hat for two tickets to see Simon Donnelly, who is at the Edinburgh Fringe this summer. I just, things you never thought you would
say. I know. Tell me about it.
Unbelievable. You're alongside Charlie Miller and it's singing, I'm no a Billy Heaser. I always get the words found the wrong way. So there we go. You can go and see the guys if you give us a call. Martin is on the line. Martin, how are your pre-match nerves? You fancy Rangers tonight?
I do fancy us. Just a wee bit worried about the starting lineup though. I wasn't keen on the Curtis Finlay and Danilo last week. Thought we could have started with Kasama. He looked very direct when he came on. I was at the game last week. He wanted the ball. We've not had a player like that for a long time. But I'm confident. We do surprise people when we go abroad. You know, we do surprise even our own fans. We surprise when we get abroad. But I think the lineup. I think we should have changed the lineup a wee bit. I think we should have brought in Dessens if he was been a wee bit fit. But definitely, I would have started with Kasama tonight.
Talk to me about Kieran Dowell. I read some out before the break, Martin. He seems to be... Look, it was always going to be hard for him. He's not fancied amongst the Rangers fans. Going back to last season, it was always going to be hard to, you know, turn that around overnight. Russell Martin seems to like him.
Well, he has played in a lot of pre-season friendlies. I think Russell Martin, from what I gather, he's basing a lot of the friendlies on the team choices right now, because Danilo's been on fire, although he didn't get a lot of great service last week. But again, I think we might have been a winger on the game last week. He might have got goals in the first half. But there was a very decent player. Just unfortunate, the position he plays, he won't fit into the Ibrox setup. He won't fit into the Rangers setup. The position he plays is on, you know, we're going to be looking at people like that. So if he's playing, he'll play when he has to play, because he wants game time,
but I think he's not going to get game time once the whole team's fit and ready. But I do appreciate him. He has a decent player, but I just don't think he's going to be in the team going forward. I mean, is that fair, Ross? If Kasama's already there and on the bench and sort of nipping at his heels, and whether it is whoever, Antman, Moore, the players that Rangers are linked with, do you think Kieran Dowell is on borrowed time, even if he's still in tonight?
It just depends what Russell Martin thinks. Martin on the line there was saying that Russell Martin's basing his starting 11s on pre-season. Why not? You know, it's basically when a new manager comes in, everyone's got a clean slate. They've got a chance to impress. So if he thinks Kieran Dowell's impressed enough to be starting in these games for Rangers, then so be it. He's the manager. He makes the decisions, you know, and it'll ultimately fall on him. But I think Dowell and Curtis tonight are going to have a massive job. But I think at times they're going to have to carry the ball and get Rangers out.
But I think, excuse me, I think also the thought process might be they might be a wee bit more disciplined going back the way, which Rangers might have to defend a wee bit more at the start of this game. So the boy Kasama, he looks exciting. You've seen a lot more of him than I have. He was a positive impact when he came on last week and get the second goal. But maybe he's not as much, you know, defensively. So maybe that's the thinking with these two to start the game and then see how it goes as we get into the second half.
There's defensively, and then there's also the other side of it, I think, where Kieran Dowell coming in off that side, inside the pitch, will probably give them more of a foothold in the game, be able to keep possession more. Whereas if you've got a Cortez or a Kasama wide, you give the ball to them, you don't know what they're going to do because they're wingers, that's what they do. Whereas Kieran Dowell probably understands the instruction from the manager a bit better.
Yep.
Martin, how big a night is this for Finlay Curtis? Because in terms of in the end up last week, how can you argue? He's, you know, a teenager playing on that occasion, scores a goal, backs it up with coming off the bench and scores in the friendly at the weekend. But there were elements of the first 50 minutes or whatever last week that he probably did find it tough. Russell Martin said it was a lot of it down to his teammates giving him the ball in the wrong areas and so on. But a big night for him.
It's massive for him again. When I was at the game last week, I was watching a couple of players in particular. Finlay Curtis, you know, he was very light on the ball. He's not got the power in the ball to hold the ball up, which is a shame because he's still quite young. And that can only get better as he gets older and obviously comes out more. But it's a massive game. But the other player I was looking at last week was Max Aaron. I felt really quite sorry for him playing on the left-hand side because he must not be able to get his left foot. He kept going back the way to go his right foot to get to Sunday, but I felt a bit sorry for him not playing on the left side. But yeah, massive night for Finlay Curtis. Massive. I just hope he gets another big goal and to boost his confidence again as well. But it'll take anybody scoring a goal the next one.
I am... interviewed Max Aaron the other day, Ross, and asked him, you know, how he found it playing on that side and what that role requires and so on. And he was very quick to point out that he's done it a lot throughout his career, even at England youth level. He also then elaborated to say that because he's asked to come so inverted, you know, it's even less of an issue for him because you're not asking a right-footed player to bomb down the left-hand side and cross it in with his left foot. So that does all make sense. At the same time, I think people would recognise what Martin said, that he didn't have a brilliant evening last week.
You got to remember he's only a few weeks in the door as well. He's still getting used to who's playing in front of him, who's beside him, what the team requires from him. But like I said, you know, during the summer super scoreboards, that I've seen him play loads of times at left back, and he never ever lets anyone down. What also does, which I don't know if he alluded to or whatever, but a lot of wingers these days are inverted also. So what you tend to find is a lot of the right wingers are left footed. So when they're coming inside, they're coming on a strong foot. That can help them there.
Yeah, I just think watching the game last week, as Ross says, it's early days for the lad. He's found himself playing there. He says he's comfortable playing there. He's obviously going to put himself forward. There was just a couple of wee situations last week that you think, oh, you know, it's obvious there that his strongest foot is his right hand side. It's difficult. I mean, the one that strikes, Dennis Irwin was fabulous at that either full back area, but you don't get many Dennis Irwins coming along. So it's just early days for him. He finds himself there tonight again. But listen, it's a massive night for Rangers. We're talking about the young boy Curtis, and it's a massive night for them as a team to go out there and do it. And the 18-year-old popped up with a goal last week, so, you know, he deserves his place tonight again, I think.
Martin, we always have these debates on European nights. We probably do oversimplify it when we ask about, do you go for it? Do you park the bus? There are other options. There are various shades of grey in between. But how do you see the approach in listening to Russell Martin?
We've got to be intelligent tonight, because don't get everybody's seen the game last week, the first half. I don't know, he's going to score maybe two or three goals. So we've got to be intelligent. I think, you know, from listening to him, he's seen that as well. So I think when you go for the same team as we played last week, you know, there's going to be a wee bit of kind of familiarity for him as well, I suppose. But I think we've got to be patient. You know, as I said, we surprise everyone when we play abroad, you know. Fair in the back, say, you know, you look at Dortmund and Leipzig, the results we've got. So, but I think because it's a new team and there's a new bodies and a new manager, we're always going to be a bit wary. But I say, I'm quite confident we can get the result, but as I say, it'll just be down to how we play and how intelligent we're playing tonight, what the game.
You've seen it, Simon. Like, it's obviously about Rangers tonight, but through your Celtic lens, these qualifiers, they're fraught occasions, aren't they? Especially, I mean, we're even if the manager has been there before, it can still be a nightmare. You know, you might have the odd injury, your squad might not quite be where you want it. But add on to that a new manager, the riches, the incentive is so huge.
Yeah,
and that, I guess that's what adds to the nervousness.
It's a nightmare. It really is. And people out there will say, "Yeah, but you should be fit and this and that," and the boys will be fit. But to go into these games of this importance so early in the season, it's been the case right back to, I won the league in 98 and we get battered off Croatia Zagreb in 99 and the first qualifier never got to the, it's so difficult to find your rhythm so quickly in a season, and especially if you add in the ingredients of a new manager trying to implement his style, new players coming in, but they have gave themselves a chance. They've come away from the home tie with two goal deficit. They've gave themselves a chance, but it's a big night for them again.
Do you remember any qualifiers or just big games against Porto and stuff that you scored in?
I wasn't interested in the qualifiers.
I
think that year we actually went through against, I think it was Anorthosis Famagusta from Greece or Cyprus or something. Yeah, that's all I remember about that. But see, for me, Gordon, the interesting thing is, you know, all Rangers fans go back to, you know, last season's results away from home in Europe, season's gone past, but that was based on this myth that a Rangers team is, you know, much more suited to playing in Europe when they haven't got the ball and they can sit back and counter-attack.
Yeah.
Russell Martin has quite openly said that his style is not that. You know, he wants to go and dominate games of football, so it'll be interesting to see the changes away from home in Europe.
I was just about to bring in Craig, who's disappeared. Craig in Bathgate, if you're there, give us a call back. That was Martin in Stewarton. So thank you to Martin for getting in touch tonight. We are not far away, 25 minutes or so. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? How are the pre-match nerves? Are you confident of getting the job done or not? And what would you do with that team? I'm not detecting any. Maybe once it gets to a certain stage, I just want to push it the other way. Let's see if we can find a Kieran Dowell fan. Are there any Kieran Dowell fans out there? Because the guy's getting it tight on this Twitter feed. Craig in Bathgate's back. Are you a Kieran Dowell fan, Craig?
I'm not, no.
I thought you might say that.
Sorry, it baffles me why Russell Martin. I actually think he must have a picture of Russell Martin eating a McDonald's. Because
I was worried where that was going, I'm not going to lie. But that's fine, we can handle fast food options.
How he's getting picked last week and at the weekend as well, when last week we struggled in the first half against Panathinaikos, to then this week, the second half was a lot better. We played a lot more attacking football. The boys that came on the park were clinical. But I just don't see it in Kieran Dowell. I don't see what we see. The manager sees in him. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Would you have gone Gassama instead?
I would have gone Gassama night and day.
You know what was interesting? Remember that story during the summer? I'm sure I dipped my toe back in long enough to read it about Kieran Dowell. Was he not named as part of Rangers' leadership group that Russell Martin assembled? You know, clubs sort of do that now. Yeah. Like a captain and a few other senior players. I mean, that's quite a commitment. You know, because I think the previous caller was maybe of the hope that, look, eventually, once all these wingers come in, you just won't really see much of Kieran Dowell. And I'm not saying everybody in the leadership group has to play every week, but it still suggests to we and about it.
Yeah, I think that these types of things nowadays, leadership groups, is not really about your, you know, mm-hmm. your prowess on the park.
Sure,
it's
no, but
more
do you
about
know what I mean? Like, if he was going to be completely
out of the picture,
you just wonder if you would bother.
Well, I think even putting him in the starting lineup for these games shows that, you know, that might not be the case. He's obviously seen enough to fancy him, and fair play. Listen, if he can go and turn it around with the, like you said, the abuse and what have you that he's getting on social media, if he can turn them Rangers fans around, then fair play to him.
Craig, I don't suppose we at the Middlesbrough game at the weekend?
I was at the Middlesbrough game at the weekend. I actually tried to get on your show midweek to talk about Hamza Agyemang as well, because that was a strange one at the weekend, but what I witnessed with my own eyes.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to know about that.
Well, hold on, we'll do that in a wee second. But the reason I ask is I was working at the game, and you remember, do you know where I'm going with this? The moment with Kieran Dowell at the end, and I felt for him. So he brings the ball down. It's a lovely nutmeg
and then so crosses
you,
it.
You can hear it. You can sense the Rangers fans going, "All right, Kieran Dowell." And then he tried to cross it, and it just went straight out the pitch. And then they're around behind the press box.
I did see it. It's a fantastic touch. It's a fantastic nutmeg. But then,
and you can't do right for doing wrong.
But listen, he must be doing something right. These games are important. Russell Martin wouldn't be putting him in the starting 11 tonight. There must be a clear idea of what he can bring to the team tonight. And we've suggested it and speculated as much as we can. It might just be that shape to start the game, to keep it in the game, and then have Gassama come off the bench, you know, the explosiveness of last week, and maybe try and get a goal. Because I think if Rangers get a goal, you know, it puts them in a hell of a strong position tonight. I just think the start of the game, as we've talked about, stay in it, and, you know, there'll be an obvious instruction for the young lad, Curtis and Dowell.
Sorry, Craig, what was the other point? What was it you saw at the weekend?
Yeah, so obviously off the back of the Middlesbrough game, Russell Martin did a presser and he said he wasn't happy with the warm-up. Now, before the game, we were actually standing outside, me and my kids, to see if we could see any players or ex-players, which we did. But I noticed Hamza Agyemang, with his hood up, walking out of Ibrox. He looked fuming, really, really angry, and I asked him for a photo opportunity with my kids. Now, he ignored us the first couple of times, and then he point blank shouted no to us and jumped into a private hire taxi and drove away. Now, he's not in the squad again tonight. He wasn't there on Saturday. I'm trying to think, has he had a fallout with the manager due to his attitude, or is he away? Is that an indication that he's gone? He's going to go somewhere else? Because we'll say that he had visa issues. Now we're saying he's picked up an injury. I just don't know if that's an indication that he's going to be a goner.
Listen, you saw it, and I couldn't possibly argue. At the same time, I wonder if out of fairness to Hamza Agyemang, if he is injured, maybe then he is disappointed at having, you know, if it flagged up on the day, and then he's annoyed that he can't feature, and then he goes. So
I missed that. Was he in the warm up? Did
no,
you say
no? But Russell Martin was just saying he, there was things he didn't like in the warm up. But I think either way, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him, because you hear about the interest, and whether it is an injury, Russell Martin's adamant it's an injury at the moment. You take that at face value for now, but maybe Craig has uncovered something. Thank you very much to Craig from Bathgate as we build up to kick off. He's in the hat for the tickets to see Simon Donnelly's Edinburgh Fringe debut. Imagine you're just joining us and you go, what are you talking about? I'll elaborate more. Not to say that that's not a brilliant prize, but what about this? Grade one. £545,000. And no, that's not Simon Donnelly's fee for appearing at the Edinburgh Fringe. It is what you could win on Make Me a Winner. Get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, you can text YES to 61025, and those texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and the online entry and rules are at the are on our website, sorry. So all the rules and online entry for this rare network competition can be found there. Lines close 5pm Friday. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to kick off in Athens. Rangers fans, how are you feeling now? Get your calls into us. Celtic fans, we are about to hear from Brendan Rodgers, so why not give us a call right now on your latest thoughts on the transfer window. It's been all the rage, it's been the biggest topic doing the rounds, and he has given some interesting words on that. So let's hear from him, the Celtic manager, speaking to Sky Sports today.
Yeah, well, we hope this week there might be some news on that. But I think, of course, coaches in the transfer market don't move at the same pace. A coach always wants a player in immediately, but the transfer market doesn't always work like that. There's a lot has to and goes into it, but it's also the reason for pre-season. You want your team together as quick as you can, so you can get some good work in, get the togetherness, get the spirit, everything formed. But of course, we know that traditionally it can be a challenge. So, but for us, it's, as I said, by the end of the month, hopefully that will be the case. I think it's arithmetic. You know, it's purely counting. We've lost players and we want to replace those players with quality. So it's not an opinion. It's where it's at. You know, we've lost key players and we want to replace those as quick as we can in order to keep developing. And I'm very hopeful that we can do that.
Craig is in Livingston. Craig, I know you had your own thoughts anyway. You've now heard the manager. What are you thinking about this transfer business?
I'm a bit conflicted, to be honest with you, because I heard the gentleman on last night, and I kind of agree with him. I don't think the squad is bad as what people are making out. You've got Kieran Tierney, who's, like, for me, on his day, he's one of the best left backs in the world. The boy Inamura looks decent. I think Trusty will be good this season. So again, you hear Hugh saying about Yang and Ida and Trusty. Sometimes players are only going to be great in the first season. I think Ida, personally, I think he'll score 30-plus goals because he's never been the first-choice striker. Again, the gentleman last night said he's got 20 goals and he was his bit part player. He first came in and he was buying the goals. And I think if he's the number one striker, he'll get the goals. But again, on the flip side, why are we taking so long? Like Coons went, you know yourself, if you're a business, if you need to replace somebody, you go and sort of look into it straight away. So why are we haggling over 2 or 3 million? So I think the squad's good enough at the moment, but I still believe that I would like to see 2 wingers coming in. I would also like to see a central defensive mid come in, because I think Callum, for me, again, he's one of my heroes, but I think he's looked a bit ropey the past 2 seasons, Callum McGregor. I think he maybe needs a rest now and again. I would like to see Engels go in there, but and then again, in the centre-half position, the young boy who's came in, he's supposed to be very, very good. But why are we sort of progressing other teams' players? When you've got money there, you go and buy somebody for the future. I mean, they're looking at the young boy, I think it's Partizan Belgrade or Croatia Zagreb, who's supposed to be very good. Go and get him. Spend some money on him. So again, I think the squad's good enough and I think people are overreacting, but I also think they need to sort of be a bit more proactive in getting players in before they leave.
Yeah, listen, I read social media and I look at the fans' reaction to different things, and I can take things off what Craig's saying there as well.
I think listening to Brendan Rodgers there, I think there will be players in before this transfer window, 3-4 players maybe. You'd never know what's happening behind the scenes. There could be one of a thousand things affecting transfers. I do look at the squad, and you look at the likes of Kuhn, and Craig makes a good point there about players maybe taking a bit of time. I mean, Kuhn's a classic example. He came in at first and didn't overly impress, and then what a season he had last year. But again, you take away all the assists and all the goals. I know he had a little bit of a dip towards the end of the season, but that's a lot of numbers in a positive, you know, front three for Celtic that probably needs replaced. They'll be looking at players. I agree, I think Trusty's had a decent pre-season. If you're looking to play him in there with Carter Vickers, Tierney and Johnson, that's quite a strong back four if they're all fit and well. But yeah, listen, I'm looking from the outside in myself now, and you always want players in. Even in a squad, when you are fighting to get into a starting 11, yeah, you've got your eye on your position. Mm-hmm. But players coming in of a quality lift everything. They lift your teammates, they lift the excitement around the place. And I think that's what the fans are craving just now. They just want two or three more quality players in there to just help everybody. And you know, it's going to be another huge season. They're going to try and defend a title. They want to get into the Champions League again, where last year I think the fans really enjoyed that, getting to the knockout stages. So that's where the wee frustration is. I've only caught a little bit of the Swedish lad, Nygren. I think he looks decent. I thought he was a winger, but he actually plays in that three. His decision making looks good. He's got a good bit of experience behind him. I think he'll be a decent player, decent addition. But I agree, he's talking about Adam Eder there. Adam Eder has come out and said that he thinks he can get 30 goals, but I think that jersey's still up for grabs. I think it is, and I think there might be another striker comes in there, which isn't a bad thing. And you look at like Sir Jota as well, it's going to be out for a time, I think another wide player. So I think there will be three or four players before the window closes.
We all do the amateur psychologist bit, Craig, you know, looking at Brendan Rodgers, listening to him and trying to assess how you think he feels about it. It's not like he was furious in that interview. It's not like he was calling everyone bad names and getting all angry about it. But do you think he sort of did, he kind of left his mark as well, talking about, you know, saying, look, this is just arithmetic. This is not an opinion. You know, we need players in to replace the ones that have left, just to kind of leave it in no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Brendan Rodgers, he's like, I've spoke to people on social media about this as well. I sometimes think, like, I find it strange how, see, when Andrew's in charge, we got players in, no bother. You look at Neil Lennon, the COVID season, we spent a lot of money. I remember even Tony Mowbray got a bit of money to spend. Delia was getting decent players in. So you think to yourself, as a player's there and he's maybe been a bit fussy? Because he's, I mean, you go looking back, they've been given money to spend. It's no coincidence to me that when he's kind of been in charge, I personally, I don't know this, I mean, you hear things here and there, but I think he might be a bit picky towards certain players. I mean, you're not telling me a club like Celtic doesn't have analysis and the sort of stats bomb thing and the sort of things like that. So they must be getting players earmarked. Is he maybe being a bit fussy? Are they maybe, he's not had a great record in transfers before when they had brought in Marvin Komper and Malumbu and that? So are the board maybe a bit like sort of reluctant as well? But at the same time, even if he's not there, Celtic's going to be there long before Brendan Rodgers. You can't just maybe not spend money because you think he's not going to be there. You want, this club needs to progress. It has to get with the times. We are a Champions League club, so you need to stop. You look at PSV there. They sold Bakayoko and the boy Noah Lang for 40 million. Within a few days, they brought in two other players for 30 million. We need to start operating like that. So again, I think the squad's going to be good, and I think we'll get players in, but we need to be faster. We need to stop sort of like thinking like, oh, what if this or what if? We need to think like, if a player goes out, get them in straight away, and it should be done like that way.
I don't think it, you know, usually it works that quick, does it? I think probably Brendan Rodgers, if he is being fussy, if that's how you want to say it, I think he's got every right to be.
Yeah, he's entitled to
Celtic, you know, for Celtic to go, you know, the players that they're wanting to buy, they're going to have to be better than the players that are already there when they're coming in. And that's hard to find.
Yeah.
Some of them players probably, no disrespect to Scottish football, but whether Celtic are in the Champions League or not, some of these players probably think that they can do better than Scottish football, which in my opinion is wrong, but that's just the way it is. These players are hard to find. Players that are going to come in, hit the ground running and improve Celtic as a team, not as a squad, as a team. They're not easy to find.
I mean, that is definitely true, and I'm not for a second suggesting you just sign anybody for the sake of it, but we're also not even talking about a scenario where you've got this really strong Celtic team that stays together, and then you're worried about how do you find that next level, because that's hard to go to. Brendan Rodgers is saying right now we actually are just replacing guys that have gone, you know, so there must still be scope for that.
Yeah, that's obviously there is. But we can sit here and speculate what the delay is and what the hold up is. We don't know. I mean, there's so many permutations that could be the case. I think there were maybe a frustration there that, I mean, we go back to, I think it was Craig mentioned there about Ange Postecoglou. His business in that field where he knew so closely was phenomenal. And, you know, I think that doesn't happen every time. It certainly doesn't happen. The three Japanese boys that came in, their contribution to the club has been sensational. But it's not easy. He tapped into a field that he knew, and you know, there'll be different things there. Their scouting network will be working tirelessly behind the scenes to try and get the players in. But as Ross says there, it has to be players that improve. It has to be players that are ready to go into that 11 and apply pressure to the guys with the jersey. Otherwise, there's no point to it.
Thank you to Craig. He too in the hat to see Simon Donnelly and Charlie Miller, amongst others, at the Edinburgh Fringe. It takes us up nicely to time for this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's another outing for our new Beat the Pundit toy, which I can't wait to release from its case again in a few minutes' time. Let's see if you can take on Simon Donnelly and apparently the surprise package of the Beat the Pundit Summer League. That's what they're all calling them. Ross McCormick, if you want to take them on, 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here, and we are underway in Athens. It's Rangers who go on the front foot early on. Remember, Russell Martin's side have a 2-0 advantage from the first leg, and they're looking to finish the job off tonight and move to the third round of Champions League qualifying. It is in the Olympic Stadium in Athens, so not Panathinaikos' normal home. You Motherwell fans will remember it when we went there in 2012. We don't really talk about how it ended, but nevertheless, it's going to be roasting hot out there. It's not totally full though. In fact, it's not even close to full, so that perhaps takes away some of this notion of, you know, you go there and it's a wildly intimidating atmosphere. The bit that's full looks lively, but massive empty sections in that stadium as well. So we'll keep you up to speed on everything that happens. You can call us as the game is going on. We've just been hearing from Brendan Rodgers on Celtic's transfers as well. And remember, every caller who gets on air tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to see Simon Donnelly, Charlie Miller and various more qualified actors at the Edinburgh Fringe in singing... I always keep getting... The
singing Kettle.
Singing, what is it again?
Singing I'm Not a Billy, He's a Tim.
I'm glad you're here. Anyway, we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
An incredible first 2 minutes in this game where you can already see exactly the two ways that it might go. Rangers looking okay in possession and getting forward and trying to create, and then Panathinaikos breaking on them up the other end, moving forward with pace and firing over the bar. They now have themselves a corner. Let's go to Beat the Pundit. We've got William who's on the line. How are you, William?
Yeah, good, Gordon, thanks, how are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
Yeah, I played 2 years ago, good. And I got beat off Andy Halliday 4-3.
Now listen, there's no shame in that. He's very good. So good, in fact. Did you hear we've had to move him on to -1 for this season?
I was listening to Monday night.
Exactly, he's too good. So William, much easier against one of these two. However, so news did reach me on my lengthy holiday that you were the surprise package. People always talk about like an underdog or a surprise package at the start of the season of the Summer League on Beat the Pundit. You apparently did pretty well.
I was trying to keep up to date, but sometimes I wasn't finishing work till after 6. So the time Ross, I got home, I was missing it, but I just went back and listened to it, to be honest.
Yeah, Ross, you did well. Is that true?
Yeah, do you know what? I only lost one. It was the very last one, Friday.
Do you know how I know that you must be a new man at Beat the Pundit? Because you didn't go for your nervous toilet break that you usually do at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, my hands are a little bit less sweaty as well.
However, now we find out though how he does under proper match conditions, Simon. Because there's only one pundit in the summer league.
Yeah, it's a different. Well, it's not really a different.
So you don't have that, you know, those eyes burning in the side of your head when you're trying to answer the questions.
Yeah, at least it's not the Dazzler. He's quite off putting.
And you didn't have the new coin either. Look at this.
Fantastic.
Absolute beauty. If you're still catching up on the breaking news from Scottish football over the summer, it is that Zenith Coins sent me a custom made, brand new Beat the Pundit coin. It is big, it is heavy, it is magnificent. It's not heads or tails now, though. It is. Ooh, Rangers coming close to conceding. Jack Butland maybe had it covered and the flag was up, so maybe not that close in the end up. But we've got a blue side for the pundit next to me. Right. So the blue Beat the Pundit side, and then the red Super Scoreboard side would be Simon Donnelly. You ready?
Yeah,
and I'm not going to do it twice tonight, but just listen to how nice the coin sounds. Oh, wonderful. It's red. Simon Donnelly. It's the actor himself, Ronald Villiers, taking on William from Govan. So we'll give Simon some music. He's easily the biggest music fan of the Super Scoreboard team. So we'll give him some music, and you, William, have got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which club connects Stephen Naismith, Billy Gilmore and Grant Hanley?
Norwich.
Name any Celtic player this century to score an opening day hat-trick.
Maeda.
In what year did Rangers last qualify for the Champions League group stages?
2022.
How many leaves are on the Panathinaikos badge?
Three.
Which Scotland defender has recently left CSKA Sofia?
Is it Cooper?
Who did Partick Thistle play in the next round of the League Cup?
Pass.
What nationality is Hearts' new signing Claudio Braga?
Argentinian.
Okay, let's bring him back. Simon Donnelly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
What were you listening to?
I'm not sure what it was, actually.
I gave you the big build-up, said you were the biggest music fan of all the pundits.
Were you listening to that, Ross?
It was absolutely awful.
You must have done in some live music over the summer break, no?
I'm obviously going to Oasis next week.
Obviously.
Looks
how excited
amazing.
Are you?
Oh, yep. Kid again.
Because this Can't is, wait. Like, I know there'll be so many people out there excited about it. Like everywhere you turn, but of everybody I know, I would put you right up there.
Well, do you know something? I was at my first gig with Oasis was 1995 at Irvine Beach. That's 30 years ago.
I'm aware. That's
incredible.
Some innings.
Irvine Beach. So yeah, thoroughly looking forward to it. Very excited.
Rangers are on. I don't know if on the ropes is too strong, but certainly backs to the wall early on here in Athens. The home side look like they've got the bit between their teeth, but still goalless. Right, same set of questions, Simon. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, your time starts now. Which club connects Stephen Naismith, Billy Gilmore and Grant Hanley?
Norwich.
Name any Celtic player this century to score an opening day hat-trick.
Larson.
In what year did Rangers last qualify for the Champions League group stage?
2017.
How many leaves are on the Panathinaikos badge?
Four.
What Scotland defender has recently left CSKA Sofia?
Pass.
Who did Partick Thistle play in the next round of the League Cup?
Air United.
Okay. William, what do you think?
He's won.
I mean, we're still on holiday.
Oh, he's
very confident, William. Very confident.
You were still in France, were you?
Possibly.
Let's find out. Let's go through them and find out the club that connects Stephen Naismith, Billy Gilmore and Grant Hanley. Almost a sneaky question until I think once you throw Hanley into the mix, it sort of sends you in the right direction. It is Norwich City. You both got it. One of my favourite sort of what do you know type things is how the Norwich fans used to claim that Billy Gilmore wasn't any good. And now look at him. Honestly, underappreciated.
Yep.
Anyway, one each. Name any Celtic player this century to score an opening day hat-trick. Very tough, I think, this. You had the choice of
Collins.
John Hartson, way back in 2005. Ryan Christie did it, 2019. Yeah. And Odson Edouard in 2020. So I think that was tough. None of you got it. Rangers last qualified for the Champions League group stage in 2022. William got it on the nose. 2-1 in front. William might not want to talk about how it went after that, but he remembers the qualification.
That's why, because we won the league. Then I was like, obviously we're winning that after. And obviously it was disappointing.
Disappointment indeed. How many leaves are on the Panathinaikos badge? I was annoyed at this question because there was a big close-up of the Panathinaikos strip just before it on the TV, and yet Simon Donnelly still got it wrong and William got it right. It is three.
Is it three? Is it?
It is three. It's not four. So William's running away with this 3-1. And it was, I had my suspicions that William was pretty good. Then he absolutely nailed it with this CSK Sofia. Liam Cooper. Wonderful,
I left a mess up there, Gordon. I didn't know what Cooper it was, so I just said Cooper.
Nah, I'm giving him that. I'm giving him that all day long. Simon doesn't care. He's beaten anyway.
Well beaten.
Like Gordon Dale would argue that, but you've come up against a nicer pundit tonight. There was a bit of time for you to try and strike back. Partick Thistle do play Ayr, which you got and William didn't. So we're 4-2. But William even got more questions. Claudio Braga is Portuguese, not Argentinian, William, but you didn't need it. A 4-2 win. You must be happy William. With that.
Well done, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
There we go, William. So the sign ball will be on its way. You've been away studying for the last 2 years since Andy Halliday beat you.
Yeah, I went back. I went to Andy Halliday again. I just stayed down the road for his gran.
Oh, they're perfect, and he'll be able to drop the ball off. Yeah. Brilliant. Good man, William. I take it you'll be off to watch the game as soon as you're finished with us.
I'm watching it while it was on play, and I was going to say, hopefully they don't score because I don't want to be shouting at the TV and everybody hearing it.
By the way, that is unbelievable composure from you, because if my team were playing and they were as under the cosh as Rangers are in the opening 10 minutes, I wouldn't be able to concentrate on Beat the Pundit. I'm assuming you hope this gets a bit easier for Rangers in the next 80 minutes.
I do, but I think it's a hard game. I do expect Panathinaikos to win on the night, but I do expect Rangers to go through.
Fair enough, William from Govan, spinning plates, watching games, playing Beat the Pundit, winning Beat the Pundit. He's a good man. Thank you, William.
By the way,
Gordon,
it's the biggest badge ever.
I know.
And I didn't
That's
have
what
a look.
I mean. It's,
I didn't
like have a dinner, look. It's a dinner plate on,
didn't have a look.
On the chest with three leaves on it. And did you not see it? No, just before I started the questions,
no,
they zoomed right in on someone.
I was
someone.
Looking at you and I just went, why did I not look? It's the biggest badge ever.
I'm sure we had.
It's still a one.
I can't remember. Who was the pundit again? There was a pundit. Famously got a might have been like an Andy Little, Craig Beattie, someone around that era when we had some of them on, and there was a question about like it was just like which two teams are playing in the championship tonight, and it was on the 70 inch telly right in their eye line, and they didn't get it right on their way to a zero. Forgive me if I've just slandered one of those two and it wasn't them. I think Andy Little rings a bell, but anyway, a half hearted penalty appeal for Panathinaikos. Nah, you can't get that, can you?
It falls onto Suter's arm there, but that's nah.
Yeah, unlikely, you would imagine. Yeah, but European competition throws up some crazy things, but no, it's play on. The last question there, Partick Thistle, the next round of the League Cup, playing Ayr United. Are you, like all of us, looking on at our gone, forgotten friend Mark Wilson?
Of course.
Off doing great things.
Of course, Sam. Listen, one of my favourite clubs, Partick. I'd spent a lot of time there.
And you worked under him at Brechin.
I did.
This is all cut.
Let's not let's not stop on that for too long. But listen, Partick, I've got a lot of fondness for Partick. And it's when he got the job, I thought it's a great opportunity. Fantastic opportunity for him. And they get a great result at the weekend against Ross County. So, you know, that league's gonna be really tough this year. There's 5-6 teams there that maybe are in that top spot. And Thistle will be one of them.
And your old five-a-side sparring partner Alex Ray is in
his
assistant as well.
Yeah, he's there at number two as well. So yeah, it's an interesting league, that one this year.
This could be incredible for Rangers, because they're through on the counter-attack after being properly pinned back for 12 and a half minutes. If they could snatch a goal, that would suck the life right out of Panathinaikos, but it goes into the hands of the goalkeeper. This has been a tough old start for Rangers, Ross.
I think they would have expected it. They'll be looking to weather it first 20-25 minutes and then grow into the game from there. But that was a good opportunity. Just that's what they'll be looking for. That's exactly the game plan there. That counter attack there, 3-on-3, good chance, but didn't make the most of it.
Is that the way you almost have to look at it, Simon? Of look, if you're a sort of glass half empty Rangers fan, you would be watching this and saying, "Oh no, there's a goal coming here." But on the other hand, you might say, "Well, this was always going to happen, and if you can weather this and they don't score when they've got this," maybe spoke too soon, Panathinaikos are through. Big
good
save, saves. Jack Butland.
Good save.
The only thing that would maybe concern you, Ross, Max Ahrens was sort of bullied off the ball in a way that he experienced quite a few times last week.
It looks as if he was there in plenty of time as well. Looked a couple of yards ahead, and he just sort of dallied on whether it was going to be a clearance.
Over on that far side, I liked though last week, Palestra.
Yeah, he was good.
I think he was at Man United before. He stuck out last week, even though he missed a sitter off the post. But yeah, I think Rangers would expect Panathinaikos to have come out the traps here, try and get the first goal and get themselves back into the tie. But so far, they're keeping them out. There's been four or five corners already. But as Ross says there, the break, that'll be the little chances that Rangers will be trying to wait for and try and, you know, take one of them on the break.
That one will frustrate Russell Martin, Ross, because if a good team comes and breaks you down and you know, fine, but that Rangers very, very close to properly shooting themselves in the foot there, like, again, like they did last week. Look, they survived it last week. They got a 2-0 healthy lead. They may well do the same, but I'm sure Russell Martin's blood pressure would prefer that not to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, as a footballer, you always think, you know, if a team cuts through you, opens you up, scores a worldie, then you can hold your hand up and go, right, fair enough. But things like that, where you're dallying on the ball, getting caught. For me, an even worse one has been players play it inside and they get caught and they're straight through. We'll be looking to sort of cut that out, to be honest, because if they do cut that out, they've shown Rangers already in this, what, first 15 minutes that they're capable. So I think they'll be fine. It'll be a bit of nerves there, first 20 minutes.
Did Jack Butland's, Simon, obviously showed last week, yep, signs that he was sort of back to his best.
Yep.
I did an interview with him for Sky a couple of days ago. He was really open, really honest. You know, very clear in admitting that, you know, he said he just couldn't believe his luck at times last season, and, you know, but he never felt it was the end of his time at Rangers, and he was so determined to come back. And anyway, another big save tonight.
That was an important save because the boy Aarons has been caught on the ball in that far side, and he's had to come off his line really quick to get at Palacio, who was maybe at one point looking as if he'd maybe lift it over him, but he's come out and made another great save. He's made two or three last week as well. So, you know, important stops, and he's had a good start to the season in these games so far.
Rangers just need to sort of calm themselves down a bit here, Ross, and, you know, make sure they don't suffer that early goal.
Yeah, spells like this will be key, where they're just keeping the ball, you know, just sort of taking the sting out of the game. I'd probably like to see them be a little bit more progressive, to be honest. Try and not go forward gung-ho, but try and move the ball forward a little bit quicker, because the more time that is spent in the areas going around the back four, the more chance that they could get caught do something silly.
Yeah, just like that there. Mm-hmm. John Suter was rushed into playing a pass, and it's back in possession of Panathinaikos. And all of a sudden they're in their final third again here.
Yeah, they'll have put another ball into the box. That's well defended though by the aforementioned John Suter. Rangers fans, if you can bring yourself from behind the couch, you can call while this game is on. We'll talk Celtic transfers as well, anything else that's out there. I want to hear from a lot of different fan bases this week if we can. Getting a bit of a league preview going. Certainly in the next couple of nights we'll really crank up the build up. Panathinaikos just trying to dance their way through the edge. There are a lot of white jerseys. Jack Butland holds on. Easy enough save, that one.
Yeah. Easy enough save. What's interesting me actually is a couple of times Panathinaikos put the ball into the box, and it's a sign of how they're seeing the game. There's five players in the box waiting on the cross.
Yeah.
How many Rangers are
there? There's so many Rangers players back there as well. I just think sometimes with the centre forward as well here, you know, that kind of passing around the back four, he needs to make himself available. And, you know, you're talking about trying to progress up the park. Danilo really needs to make himself an option, you know, and try and get a wee bit more forward, because at the moment they are keeping possession. As we just see this one again, the chance a couple of minutes ago, just strong Pellestri there, and Butland made a fantastic stop.
I suppose the Panathinaikos manager's probably thinking, if, you know, maybe this is another one of those nights for them. I know it's very early, but if they had anything resembling shooting boots on in the first half last week and in the opening 20 minutes here, the tie would look different. So
yeah, I mean, as much as you give Butland credit for the saves last week, quite rightly, you would say that they were very wasteful with their chances, particularly the one that the lad hit off the post. So, you know, they need to be a wee bit more accurate tonight, or they'll not get back in the tie as Rangers venture up.
Maybe a chance here though for Rangers, a weak clearance from Panathinaikos. I've not seen much at all of Finlay Curtis, but he decides to come back the way, maybe not get too many options in front of them. This thing's kind of out of it. It's gone back to the halfway line. So give us a call, whether you're watching this, whether you've got something else to discuss with us tonight. Perfect time to pick up that phone. Hopefully we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still Panathinaikos 0, Rangers 0, but still the Greek side very much on the front foot. The good news, Rangers fans, you're a quarter of this game done, and it's still a 2-0 lead on aggregate, so just have to chip away at it. But the Greek side look like they are hungry to change that very soon. Jack Butland's made another save since we last spoke, this time from a header across from the right, and a good header, but well saved again by the Rangers keeper. So if you want to talk to us as the game progresses, please do. And if you want to change the subject completely, also please do. Let's hear from as many of you as possible as we build up to the start of the new league season. Simon is on the line. How are you, Simon?
How you doing, guys? I'm calling in from County Armagh about Celtic, if possible.
Lovely to hear from you. What are you thinking then?
So last night you had two callers on the phone. One was saying that we had done a really good transfer window, and the next caller was very much saying that we need to be much more progressive. I personally feel that it's a halfway house. We were referred to last night by one of the callers as a feeder club, but actually I think it's more of a feeder league. And we either get young players or we get players who are past their best. And what do Celtic actually want? Do they want young players to develop, or do they want players at the end of their career?
What do you think, Simon? Other Simon, Simon Donnelly.
Yeah, I'd rather have the youth and the excitement of players coming in recent times. We didn't know. I wouldn't say he's a young player, but Kyogo, I didn't know Maeda, I didn't know Hitati, but I've really enjoyed watching these guys play at Celtic. Matt O'Reilly in recent times as well. So I don't really think you want boys at the end of their career. I know we've had a couple of experienced goalkeepers come in, which is fine. It's a different position. And you're looking at Kieran Tierney coming back, but certainly at 28, I wouldn't class him as, you know, he's in his prime. If he can just get a run of games and keep himself fit. So I would lean towards, you know, that pool where you're looking to bring players in. And as Ross touched on earlier on, I think it gets more difficult, because as Simon quite rightly says there, we probably are a feeder league in terms of if guys come here and do well, they move on, because there's more money elsewhere and there's bigger leagues out there. So you just hope that you can get one or two gems along the way. And, you know, you've got the Champions League there, should Celtic qualify for it again. That's where players want to play. So that's also a massive bonus should Celtic get there again this year. But I would definitely lean towards, you know, young, exciting players that are going to come in here and light Celtic up.
See what Brendan Rodgers was talking about today though, Simon, on the line. You know, before we even start debating like what quality of player and how many fees, he was just trying to point out that players have left and haven't been replaced. So is that not quite a pressing issue at the moment?
I don't think it's a pressing issue to the end of the window, because ultimately if we qualify for the Champions League, that gives us the other options, right? And we should be practical until that point. I know they want to go and spend, a lot of fans want us to go and spend the money in advance, but I still think we should be prudent, and we'll have a lot more options if we get through that qualification.
Do you know, I think you obviously understand the prudent bit though, Ross, but and again, Simon's right, you're not just going to go and spend everything and throw tens and hundreds of millions at it. But Celtic don't need the Champions League money to sign players. That's not that they've got the cash reserves there. That's just there in black and white for everyone to see.
Yeah, but the board might be looking at it. If you go back to last summer's transfer window, they've paid 9 million for Ida, 11 for Engels, 6 for Trusty. They might actually be looking at it now and thinking that they might have overpaid slightly and, you know, being held to ransom a little bit. I think for me personally, they definitely did with Adam Idea. They had to buy him after he scored the winner in the cup final. Yeah, but listen, it's a waiting game. There's no doubt at all that Celtic will have 3, 4, 5 players in before the end of this window, and they will be of significant quality as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. We all get a little bit impatient, you know. In an ideal world, the players would already be there and Celtic would be flying. At the moment, it's a wee bit of a waiting game, but I'm not too concerned. I think there'll be players identified, and as I say, they will be of a level when they come in. 3, 4, maybe 5 players.
Hard though, isn't it though? Because as Ross is saying, what, you know, if your financial outlay was the same for Trusty, Engels and Ida, and you got the return that they got, it probably would be seen as not satisfactory. And that, by the way, that's not me even being sort of overcritical and saying that they were dreadful. Not at all, but that was a lot of money. And, you know, the jury's still out on whether Austin Trusty's a starter. The jury's still out on whether Anamida's still a starter. And maybe if Nygren is as good as Celtic fans hope, maybe Arne Engels isn't as nailed on. So, you know, that you would still be looking for more if you were to spend that amount of money. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's never any real guarantee.
But that's the difficulty,
yeah,
isn't it?
I remember watching Engels at the start when he came in the Champions League, and he had a fantastic game. He'll be looking to kick on this year, 100%. Adam Ida's.
I saw him out doing some shopping today, if anybody cares. Yeah. Right. Other nothing more to add. Just a quick anecdote to throw in.
So, listen, that's a strong area of Celtic's team, and as you quite rightly say, Negrin coming in there. If he goes in, then the rest of the boys have to up their game. Trusty, I think, had a decent pre-season. And Adam Eder, as I say, I think that the striker's position is still very much up for grabs. I caught a little bit of the boy Yamada last week, and the time he was on the pitch, he looked lively enough. Listen, it's only a half of football, but I think that's up for grabs, and it's up to them, if it's Adam Eder or whoever, to go and take that by the scruff of the neck and make that position theirs.
White company
shopping in there.
That's where he was.
Is that where he was?
Lovely bedding and that.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. When you were talking about the midfield there, like, what would it cost us to buy, a first starter right away in the central midfield and then add on all the wages, etc.? Do you know what I mean? Are you up around 15 million then to get one that's just starting definitely every game?
Simon, the thing is with that as well, though, these players that Celtic could be interested in just now, they could be sitting there waiting, thinking, well, I'll make a decision when I know if they're in the Champions League or not. So it's not just all down to the
Celtic
board
side, yeah.
You know, penny pinching. There's other factors that have got to come into the equation as well. And if they don't all line up, then the deal don't get done.
Absolutely. But as I say, I don't think there's any panic yet.
No.
Yeah, he's still feeling pretty optimistic about the season, Simon, because, you know, I think we always go overboard either way. And the truth generally in the middle, I mean, it is a Celtic team that, yes, the cup final didn't go to plan, it wasn't a treble, but it was a very convincing title win, which is always the most important thing. And the much discussed progression in Europe actually took place last season. So, feeling pretty optimistic?
I would be optimistic going into this season that it'll probably be run away with the title and do another decent performance in Europe.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think there's any point pressing a panic button. I think it's natural as fans. They get to this stage and why is the players not in? I think you sit and assess that at the end of the transfer window and you look at the team and you look at the squad, and I don't think there'll be too many unhappy out there, you know, with the additions that come in over the next few weeks. Yeah, and I think it excites everybody. If there's fresh talent coming in, I said at the top of the show, it affects everybody from the players right through to the guys that pay to go and watch. It just gives a little bit more freshness.
Listening to Brendan Rodgers, though, I suppose his, if there is a frustration there, is just about trying to get back to where they were before you can even think about being stronger. Because every team wants to be strong. You want to improve, and especially Celtic, if you are in such a good place and you do have such, you know, cash reserves, you want to keep moving forward. But at the moment, the challenge is actually just returning strength of squad wise to where they were previously.
He's just talking about numbers wise, isn't he, as in how many people have left the building, how many people have came in. But I'm sure Brendan will be getting offered players left, right and centre every single day. And I can guarantee you that there'll be a large percentage of them that he won't fancy. So
previous caller says he's fussy.
And as I said, he's got every right to be.
You're the manager of the club, you're entitled to be. You know, he'll have his own views on where the squad needs strengthened, the team needs strengthened, and what quality of player that he can bring in.
Thank you very much. Sorry,
just still for what we're going to spend, I think you either get that player that's coming up or that player that's going down.
Yeah, that is the case, and Celtic have had so many good examples in recent seasons. But I suppose then at the same time, Ross, if these gems, maybe you can still get them without worrying about the outcome of Champions League football.
You can, because from what I've seen so far of the boy Negrin, he looks a very, very good player. Very similar in my eyes to somebody like Matt O'Reilly in stature, the way he sort of carries the ball
stuff. Is he seen more, you know, in that midfield three area rather than one of the wide positions, presumably?
I thought he was a wide player, but after watching him in the positions he was taking up in that game, I think it was the Sporting Lisbon game, I think he's got 200 games under his belt as well, so he's not, you know, inexperienced at this level. I think his knowledge of picking areas in the pitch to receive the ball, the way he received the ball, his selection of passes, you can just sometimes see with a player. I know it's early days, but I think he will bring something to that midfield.
Okay, thank you to Simon on the line. Latest update from Athens is that it's exactly the same as it's been for the entire game. It's still 0-0. That's the good news, Rangers fans. You're still 2-0 up on aggregate. Panathinaikos are still very much knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Rangers had a really good chance, although the youngster, Curtis, at the last corner, just didn't get enough on the shot, but that's their only kind of chance. But yeah, the game's... It was a wee bit backs to the ball there for a spell, but Rangers have kind of stemmed it a little bit.
You always want that, don't you, as a player, get through the first half an hour when you're up against it, and then you can build from there.
The young lad had a good chance, that felt him
from the corner.
He just couldn't connect.
I suppose the... You know, it shows though Panathinaikos trying to really pick their moments. I was quite surprised when the possession popped up there and it was completely even, because it doesn't feel like that. But I suppose actually now that when you go back over it, all of Panathinaikos' moments have been when they've nicked it off, you know, nicked it off Rangers and tried to make something happen. But standing firm for now.
Yeah, but I think I always say possession's a deceiving thing. You know, you can have a lot of possession, but you could be going nowhere with it. Just passing it side to side, and all of a sudden you make one bad pass and give it away, and you're up against it.
It's just a curiosity, because we all debate styles all the time now, don't we, in Europe, and there are big examples, and we're now wondering if Russell Martin's style coming here. What was the most sort of possession-based team you played in? Any real obsessives with it, or was it still not as common?
Yeah, there was, I think my second year at Fulham, we had a manager come in, Slavisa Jukanovic, and it was the first that I'd ever seen. You know, when you do possession drills in training, it's basically just about keep the ball or whatever, but we done possession drills in our shape. So if we were playing, say, a 4-2-3-1 against a 4-4-2, we would basically do that with no goals, just as a possession game, and he was obsessed with possession. And actually, as it goes...
In a smaller space?
Yeah, but then... It sort of took its time to work for us, but I left that summer, and I'm sure they got promoted the following summer, and it's some of the best football that English Championship's ever seen.
And do you think that'll be more commonplace now, won't it, in widespread? I'm sure I've seen Celtic do something similar, you know, in the media, get the first 15 minutes at training, genuinely almost a really small box, but with the back four, and everyone all kind of
so
squeezed
in
into it, but just sort of working it from one side to the other.
Right.
So was that? Did you notice that then? That was when it started to maybe shift as far as the teams you had played in.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'd never sort of thought about it, but then when you see it, and then you hear about all these younger managers coming up who are obsessed with possession and dominating the ball and what have you, a bit like probably Russell Martin is now. You start to actually, you know, take a step back and look at how they develop these sorts of, you know, philosophies. Mm-hmm. And it's basically all possession based.
I have done you two like a kipper. I haven't given you your teaser. This is the shortest time ever anyone's going to have on the teaser. Interesting one, this. I think, Simon Donnelly, you're going to need to carry the can, because you would have been eyewitness to many of these.
Right.
There were only 9 Scottish players who scored a competitive goal at Celtic Park last season. 9 Scottish players scored a competitive goal at Celtic Park this season. Thank you to Colin Rice for sending that question in.
Ralston.
Yes.
Forrest.
Yes.
McGregor.
Yes.
Simon Murray.
No, but I can see why you've gone there. It's incredible, isn't it? Hardly any Scottish players scored visiting goals. I'll let you think about it. Yeah. I'll maybe leave it with you. Max Aarons is the latest Rangers player down. I think nothing wrong with him at the moment, I don't think. He maybe just was in the receiving end of a naughty foul. He's just fixing himself up. He'll be fine, back to his feet. There actually was a concern over Jack Butland maybe 5-10 minutes ago, but he seems to be fine as well. 37 minutes gone there, so Rangers definitely trying to see this out to half time. They've not had much in the way of attacking play. Plenty of defending to do. They've relied on Jack Butland again, but if it stays like this, they're not far away from half time, 3/4 of the way through the tie, with that 2-0 lead. So in that sense, they'll be delighted. I'm sure Russell Martin would love a goal, and then that would pretty much be that, as James Tavernier stoops and nods the ball back to the goalkeeper. Right, your final chance to get in touch in the phones is coming up, so let's hear from you. 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Bit of a strange schedule, a 7 o'clock kickoff in Europe, meaning that we are 2 minutes or so away from half time in Athens, where it remains Panathinaikos 0, Rangers 0, Rangers 2 up on aggregate and heading through as it stands. It's not been an easy first half, but the scoreline is the all important thing, and Rangers in the driving seat still. In those 2 minutes that are about to pass, as soon as that half time whistle goes, definitely want to hear some half time reaction from you, Rangers fans. So get poised, get dialing, and as soon as that whistle goes, let us know what you've made of the first half. Can you see Rangers hanging on this way for the rest of the game? Will they need to offer more of an attacking threat? Are you comfortable? Are you nervous? You tell us. Give us a call in a minute or so when the halftime whistle goes. Right, before the break, I thanked Colin for his question. He emailed us in fulltime at Clyde1.com and he sent us the following fulltime teaser. Can you name 9 Scottish players who scored a competitive goal at Celtic Park last season? I like this because the Celtic fans will be trying to recall it. But if you were one of the teams that managed to go there and get a goal, think who it might have been. Did any Scotsman get it for you? Easier to start with the Celtic ones, obviously. Yep. Ralston, McGregor, and Forrest.
Luke McCowan.
Yes, must have got a few.
Shinny, yeah, he did. And Shinny Aberdeen.
Well remembered, Graham. Shinny went there and scored for Aberdeen. Okay.
He's just writing the...
Is he? No. Teams. I'm thinking of teams that scored at Parkhead, right? But I don't know if he's Scottish. The young boy who left Kilmarnock.
Bobby Wales.
Yes, that's the one, yeah.
He is Scottish. Well done, Bobby. That's a great shout you. Very well done, Bobby Wales. Good. He is Scottish. Wales is Scottish. Went to Swansea as well, did they not?
Swansea.
Just to tie in with his...
Tied in, yeah.
What have we got?
So your old rival, of course. Yeah. Is that a fierce rivalry, that Cardiff-Swansea?
It's really bad, is actually, it? Yeah. There's so much hatred involved down there, yeah.
Very naive of me, I never really thought about it.
When we had to kick off at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you weren't allowed to go to the games on your own. It had to be a police escort for both sets of fans.
Is 11 o'clock in and out famously safer than 12, or how does that work?
I just remember like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever, you'd report for pre-match meal and there's people eating spaghetti and chicken and bolognese at 7 in the morning.
That's not good. Anyway, right, we've got a couple more in the teaser. Not much of a clue. The only thing I'll tell you at the moment, you've got
3 to get,
but only 2 teams, if that makes sense.
And no Celts.
And one of the teams been mentioned already. Okay, so Aberdeen. And so no, or is it?
No.
No.
So I think they scored more.
That's all I'm saying.
One on one.
Anyway, we're nearly there. We must be 2 minutes added on. We're into that. So seconds away, Rangers fans, give us a call and let us know what you made of that first half. What do you think they'll make of it before the calls come in?
I think they'll be happy. It's 0-0. Panathinaikos have put them under a little bit of pressure, won a lot of corners. I think there's been a couple of saves through Butland. And Rangers have got up the park the odd occasion, the chance with young Curtis. But I think they'll be pleased. I mean, we talked about it at the start. Stay in the game. It's 0-0. You know, they're in charge of the tie at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, Ross, you come back to that bigger picture stuff. Yes, it's been difficult at moments here, but bigger picture. At halftime in the second leg, you're taking a 2-0 lead. You're absolutely...
Yeah.
Delirious if you're offered that before. So that might be the way that Russell Martin will try and look at things.
Yeah, and then we go back to what we were speaking about before the game about his decision not to play Dessers and Gassama and people like that. You know,
now you can put them on.
Yes, yeah. When it gets to 60-65 minutes, this game is going to stretch. If it stays this scoreline, it'll be perfect for people like Gassama and Cortez, who we haven't even really mentioned.
I mean, and it just shows you never know. Panathinaikos, there's a pass back to the goalkeeper who makes an almighty mess of it. I mean, that's worse than a slice. I don't really know how to describe that.
It's not the best back pass though. He's put
hip height, and he's put out for a corner. So if Rangers could snatch a set piece goal just before the break, that would be
the perfect 45 minutes.
Incredible, because that would probably see this tie off. So Rothwell's going to put a ball into the box. It will be the final action of the first half. Then why not give us a call as soon as that whistle goes? It is a good ball. It's headed away, but only into the danger area. Now Rangers have to be careful. Is that Dowell tries? Is it Dowell who tries to take the booking? He can't even get close enough to nick the heels. He tries again.
He'll get it now. The second attempt.
Yeah, he tried to clip the heels, then had to race another 50 yards to complete the offence, and indeed does so. Now it will be Rangers with one final piece of defending to do in the closing stages.
See, the first one he tries to bring him down, you can understand it, but that one he doesn't really have to know.
Aaron's back.
Aaron's is there, isn't he? But see, once you've set your mind on it,
I know.
You're going to finish the job off. Need to get him. I think Djuric is making the point to the referee. It's one of those ones that probably does frustrate you as a player because you know it's so deliberate. But it's never enough to be more than a yellow. But when you're on the receiving end, it really does your head in, doesn't it?
The only thing I can see in the TV now is that badge.
What, the big three leaves that Simon Donnelly ignored?
It wouldn't have made a difference.
Unbeat the pundit.
I'd still have been beaten. Such so this is the last little bit for Rangers to defend before half time here.
An incredibly high line from Rangers. The free kick's actually quite close to the box, and it's still a very high line. And I don't tend to like that floated delivery, but there is a big old defender that's won a lot at the back post, and that one's smashed high into the Olympic Stadium. And it's going to be, that will be that, because we've played 3 minutes of the two that were added on. So there we go. Half time, Rangers fans, come out from behind the couch, give us a call right now. We've got a couple of minutes left. What did you make of that first half? Quick, let us know. 0141 951 1025. Call us right now. What do you think the message will be from Russell Martin?
Well, I think it will be get through half time here. First 15-20 minutes, more or less the same. Same as, just
a little bit of needle here at half time.
Yeah, Panathinaikos. I mean, that might suit Rangers. You can see James Tavernier trying to get the players off. They're the ones that will be frustrated.
Yeah, and I think, as Ross says, if this goes 0-0 after an hour, they have to do something. They're out, the ties it stands, they have to come out and push more bodies forward, which in itself will create a little bit of space, and those players that we spoke about that are sitting on Rangers bench with a bit of pace, they might come on, like likes of Dessers, Gesama, they might come on and nick a goal.
The key thing is getting there though, isn't it?
Yeah.
60 minutes, 65 yeah. minutes, make sure it stays the same, do not concede.
Yeah,
don't really know what the complaint was there. Someone in the Panathinaikos ranks was gesturing about an elbow. Wasn't something I necessarily noticed, did you?
No, I didn't spot anything really. Just adds a wee bit of needle to the second half.
Yeah, maybe that is the frustration starting to boil over, because over the piece of last week's first half and this week's first half, Panathinaikos must be wondering how they haven't scored, but they haven't. That's the most important thing at the moment, Ross.
Yeah, and it just seems to be the way it's been in recent years for Rangers in Europe, isn't it? They just stay in the game, they're not getting beaten, then they go up and score and snatch something. For me, it looks as if it's all set up for someone to come off the bench for Rangers tonight and score first.
I noticed Super Scoreboard pundit Andy Halliday on the TV coverage wearing a very outdoor jacket indoors. If you ask me, did someone tell him he was going to be covering this from outside or something?
I don't know.
I'm roasting looking at him. He's in the comfy BBC studios. Presumably air conditioned. That's an outdoor layer. Somebody has to have a word.
They're out in the hallway though, aren't they?
Listen, no, Peter Lovenkrantz is next to him.
T-shirt.
Polo shirt. He got the memo. It's like he's cutting weight. Is he trying to shift a few extra pounds for Motherwell's season opener this weekend? See, I like that. We all know the real reason that he's there covering that game. It's so he can scout Rangers ahead of Motherwell playing them at the weekend. Yeah. That's what it is, isn't it? Yeah. There's nothing else in that at all. I'm sure he's on there. And of course, you know, Motherwell would be probably the last Scottish team to go away to Panathinaikos, so that would be why he's there as well. Just
remind us of the score. What was the score? Can you remember?
Genuinely, how bad is that? I think 2-0.
So were you there?
2-0 at home.
Working or is it just
no, just
fan?
As a fan. 2-0 at home and 3-0 away, something like that. Right. It was a bit of a chasing, but that was to be expected. That was 2012, so remember, Rangers couldn't take their place, and Motherwell took the place and went into the. It was the Champions League qualifiers,
right.
And then got knocked out, obviously. But it was a great summer for trips, because the very next week, I think, or like 2 weeks later, you drop straight into Europa League, and that was Levante.
Right.
So away to Athens and Valencia within the space
of a couple of decent away trips.
Oh, lovely,
beautiful.
Back when you were a student and you could just throw caution to the wind and do whatever you wanted. It's nice to be grown up and have a family and all that, but you yearn for those days.
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually think we're going to be pretty much out of time. That halftime whistle going a little bit later there. So Rangers 0-0 at the moment, under the caution the first half, but 2-0 up on aggregate. So it looks like a certain big 45 minutes coming up for everyone involved. Can you name the 9 Scottish players who scored a competitive goal at Celtic Park this season? Ralston, McGregor, McCowan and Forrest did it for Celtic. Graham Shinney and Bobby Wales, you got so far? Opposition players?
Struggling.
Same team as Bobby Wales.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
No longer at that team though.
Ooh.
Come on. So who's left Kilmarnock? I know quite a few, but you're now down to Scottish players that have left Kilmarnock.
He wore the thing on his hand, didn't he? The winger, tricky winger.
Yeah, I suppose that'll do as a clue. He wore the thing on his hand.
Oh, that tricky winger, I can see it. Left footed boy.
He's gone to Romania, I think.
Who's the other team? What's the other one?
Right, let's get this.
Danny. Is it Danny? Is that his first name? Yeah, he wears a cast, didn't he?
Armstrong.
Oh, Danny Armstrong, yeah.
Right, the other team. Who was the best team? Who was the best team that went to Celtic Park at the start of last season?
Falkirk.
Correct. Two of them. You're struggling here.
Good goals as well.
I think you'll struggle with these two.
Centre forward.
Yep.
Took it really well.
Correct.
Can I get his name?
Ross McKeever. And the other one, I don't hold out much hope for you. Finn Yates.
No.
Producer John would have been all over it. Big Falkirk fan. We look forward to, firstly, the second half tonight, and then we build up to the start of the league season at the weekend. Huge 45 minutes coming up for Rangers. Whatever happens, we will reflect on it tomorrow night. Really looking forward to it. Gordon Diel is here alongside Falkirk striker. Sounds weird to say that now. Brian Graham joining him in the studio. Enjoy the rest of your evening.